Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part six of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 1 called How the Mighty Have Fallen.
It will be in the day when the Lord gives you rest from your pain and turmoil and harsh service in which you have been enslaved, that you will take up a taunt against the king of Babylon, who Nebuchadnezzar was obviously a big part of their pain as he sacked Jerusalem, and say, how the oppressor has ceased, how fury has ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, which used to strike the peoples in fury with unceasing strokes, which subdued the nations in anger with unrestrained persecution. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into shouts of joy. Even the cypress trees rejoice over you and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were laid low, no tree cutter comes up against us. Sheol from beneath is excited over you to meet you when you come. It arouses for you spirits of the dead, all the leaders of the earth. It raises the kings of the nations from their thrones. They will all respond and say to you, even you have been made weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp and the music of your harps have been brought down to Sheol. Sheol is often a picture of the grave or the underworld. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you. How's that for a new bedspread? Worms are your covering, new blankie. Now notice this. The immediate context is the king of Babylon and his fall, his demise. But then notice what it says. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You've been cut down to the earth, you who weaken the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of the sky, or stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. On a deeper level, many theologians think that Satan is being addressed as these verses move on. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook, note it, kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go home? All the kings of the nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb. But you have been cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch, clothed with the slain, who are pierced with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a trampled corpse. You will be united with them in burial because you have ruined your country. You have slain your people. May the offspring of evildoers not be mentioned forever. And then it says, prepare for his sons a place of slaughter because of the iniquity of their fathers. They must not arise and take possession of the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. Let's go back to 2 Samuel. The mighty fall. Satan fell. Revelation 12, if you write it down for your notes, talks about Satan's fall. It mentions Satan and his angels who fell. If I asked you, what was the cause of Satan's fall? What would you say it was? Pride. Because pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But was pride really Saul's problem? It was probably one of his problems. But unbelief was his other problem. And it cost him dearly. David's response to Saul is amazing. One of Abraham Lincoln's earliest political enemies was Edwin M. Stanton. He called Lincoln a low, cunning clown. He called Lincoln the original gorilla. He said it was ridiculous for people to go to Africa to see a gorilla when they could find one easily in Springfield, Illinois. Lincoln never responded to his slander. But when, as president, he needed a Secretary of War, he chose Stanton, When his incredulous friends asked why, Lincoln replied, "Because he is the best man for the job." Years later, as the slain president's body lay in a coffin, Stanton looked into the coffin and said through his tears, "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen." His animosity was finally broken by Lincoln's long-suffering and non-retaliatory spirit. Patient love won out. This was recorded by John MacArthur. That's the stuff of the kingdom. But how hard is that? Imagine if you found out that someone was calling you a gorilla. How about if you saw it on Twitter or Facebook? How would you want to respond to that? Would you be thinking of 17 different angles to respond? Can you imagine if you're running for president and someone was calling you a gorilla? You don't have to go to Africa to see gorillas. Just look at Lincoln. And you take the high road? You don't even respond? You know, when Jesus was being reviled, he did not revile in return. When people were mocking him, he cast no threats back. And get this, he had the power at his disposal to fry the landscape. Put yourself there for a second. You're up on a cross. People are walking by. "Hey, you! You claim to be the Son of God." Maybe spit in your face. "You! Get yourself off the cross now and we'll believe in you." How many of you would just want to use your X-ray vision just for a moment? Just one of them, right? Oh! David is a type of Jesus. Some of you say, "That's great. Heard that before." Hey, here's a question. Aren't we supposed to be coming more like who again? Oh, Jesus, that's right. We're supposed to be conformed into his image? Wow, is that what the kingdom of God is about? It's being more like him? Yeah. David goes on, "Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon." These are the major cities of the Philistines. The Philistines were the ones that took down Saul. "Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised exult." Well, they already were. We look at other passages. The Philistines were already rejoicing. They were already celebrating. In fact, they had taken Saul's head and put it in a place to celebrate that their gods were superior. At least that's what they thought. Over the God of Israel. That wasn't the case, but that's what they were doing. And David said, I can't imagine. Don't share this anywhere in those areas because I don't want the uncircumcised to be rejoicing over the death of the king of Israel. Remember when David had to take on Goliath? Goliath represents, he was a Philistine, you know, fighter. What does he represent? The world. What did David have to do to defeat Goliath? What was his weapon? Ultimately, you say, well, yeah, he had the cool slingshot, man. Thing was awesome. Down goes Goliath. Yeah. But what he was actually fighting with was not the physical weapons per se. He was coming in the power of who? Almighty God. That's how we fight the battle. Not with carnal weapons. Notice 21. "O mountains of Gilboa," this is where Saul died, "let not dew or rain be on you." Life shouldn't be going on as normal up there because the king and his son died there. "Nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty was defiled. The shield of Saul not anointed with oil." Shields were often anointed with oil, or they were made wet with water to extinguish fiery arrows. If you were in combat, mano-a-mano, one-on-one, and you guys have seen ancient battle scenes, man, There's no hiding behind trees pretty much in these ancient battle scenes. You go up, you're on the front lines, you got a shield and you got a sword, and it's either kill or be killed. They would sometimes oil their shields to get their opponent to deflect off of them or not be able to grab onto them. That was part of the deal. And they also would try to get it to extinguish weapons like fire arrows that would come at them. But notice, not anointed with oil also speaks that Saul lost something. What did Saul really lose, spiritually speaking? It's pretty scary. We look at verses about Saul and we know that the Lord, just like in Samson's case, the Lord what? He departed from him. Some of us go, can that happen in the New Testament? Is it possible for the Spirit to leave us? No, we're sealed for how long? Till the day of Christ, till the day of redemption. That was then. But Saul lost his anointing. And that's part of what happened here. Saul lost in the battle. But the battle is bigger than just actual war. The battle becomes a picture of the Christian faith. And we have a shield of faith by which we can extinguish how many? All the fiery arrows of the wicked one.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
Your financial support helps keep Walking Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it. For the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walkin' Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walkin' Truth.
The battle becomes a picture of the Christian faith, and we have a shield of faith by which we can extinguish how many? All the fiery arrows of the wicked one. All of them. Not some of them. What does it say? All of them. That's Ephesians 6:16. There's a really good book out. It's called Suit Up, Putting on the Full Armor of God. It's written by a guy named Pastor Michael Lance, if you want to check that out. Bargain price on Amazon. Do you remember when Samson lost everything? And finally the Philistines were making sport of him. He played with fire and lost. And do you remember what happened to Samson? They gouged out his eyes. And basically he had to just serve the Philistines. It was brutal. Yesterday, during the USC game, there was a young man that was brought out. He actually had eye cancer when he was a baby. How many of you saw this in the football game? Anyway, he had eye cancer as a baby. I think when he was just a few months old, he lost one of the eyes and lost the other one as a young teenager. So he had met Pete Carroll some years ago, and he had a dream to be on a football field. He's totally blind. So he is a long snapper. So he actually snapped the ball for an extra point during the USC game yesterday. It was extremely moving. They had to walk him out, lead him out onto the field. The other team kind of just laid back. The snap was pretty good. Got it to the guy. Extra point was good. This guy's beaming smile was amazing. Something very little, but very profound. How many things we take for granted? Our eyes, our ability to do so many things. From the blood of the slain, 22, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not, what? Return empty. Now, Saul did win some battles, but he fell on the battlefield. We have a sword. It's not the sword of Saul. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And God says, my word will not come back empty. It will accomplish the purpose that I have for it every single time. You're in battle. You need a shield of faith. You need the sword of the Spirit. And by the way, not much else to deal with the wicked one. And you know what he wants to get you to do? Lower your shield, lose your faith, lower your sword, don't know your Bible. And what happens? The mighty men and women fall. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and pleasant in their life. He loved Jonathan, but he's of course celebrating Saul for the good things. In their death, they were not parted. Jonathan could have given up on dad, but he didn't. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. I remember David, the new king, he's leading the nation through this grief. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you luxuriously in scarlet, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. Positives in Saul's reign. And then again, how the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was his good buddy, is slain on your high places. High places often were places of pagan worship as well. If you want to look at a few verses on this, just write it down. Leviticus 26:30 and Jeremiah 17, especially verse 3. David says, I'm distressed over you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was more wonderful than the love of women. By the way, David was married to Jonathan's sister. And I'll just say this. We have a community right now out there in the world that's trying to say that David and Jonathan were in a same-sex relationship. Sorry. Wrong. Nice try. But not that good of a try. David was married to the guy's sister. David was not into that lifestyle. But this is how desperate it's getting out there, you guys. What was the relationship between David and Jonathan? What does this language mean? They were buddies, friends. They had made a covenant together to protect one another's families and one another's honor. How many of you have a good friend today? I hope you do. I hope you have more than one good friend. How many of you really treasure that good friend? It's really amazing to have a good friend. For many of you, your spouse is one of your best friends. That should be the way it is. But there's other friends that you have too. Look, David and Jonathan were buddies. Jonathan had deferred to David, had really known that David was the up-and-coming king, and he gave him honor. And when David celebrated Jonathan, he had a lump in his throat. He was a good friend, someone who was willing to love him through thick and thin. You got somebody like that in your life? Man, that's special. It's a treasure. I've had some good friends move out of the state of California. They told me it wasn't my fault, but I don't know. I'm starting to get a little bit of a complex. Idaho. Idaho. What's up with Idaho? Are the potatoes that good? Anyway, how have the mighty fallen? The weapons of war perished. Ushers, if you can get ready the communion elements, that would be wonderful. Father, we know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are spiritual, for the demolishing of strongholds. The book of Isaiah says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We know we're in a battle, and there's kingdoms in conflict, Lord, but thank you that there's a kingdom that will prevail. The greater David will sit on David's throne, and that kingdom will have no end. no end. And the King will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more mourning, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more hurricanes, no more cancer. Oh, Lord, thank you that you're going to make everything right again. And thank you that he who spoke these words is faithful and true. Behold, I make not some, but all things new. Thank you that you started with us and a work in our hearts spiritually, Lord, where you are making us new from one degree of glory to another. You told us to look forward to that coming kingdom and seeing the King face to face by taking elements. We take matzah and juice and we remember a King pierced for us, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Lord God, thank you for such a King as this. It's an amazing gift, this King of glory who came down to save us. Lord, as we reflect on the King and the kingdom that we belong to, we just want to give thanks, refresh our faith, renew our joy, give us the perspective of this kingdom and this King, change us more into the King's image until we meet him face to face.
You've been listening to How the Mighty Have Fallen, Part 6 on Walk in Truth. And that was the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 1. If you missed any part of today's program, you can listen to our free Living Truth app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, life is filled with ups and downs, and when the mighty fall, when we watch maybe a well-known movie star or athlete, somebody that was bigger than life, all of a sudden they're gone. You know, you can do an internet search and ask, you know, give me a list of actors and actresses that died in the last year or 2 years. And we can easily forget, but the mighty are not always people on a screen. Sometimes they are athletes. Sometimes they're, you know, bigger than life spiritual figures who pass away. And this last year, you know, off the top of my head, I can think of John MacArthur, who, you know, the Lord used mightily. We think of Pastor Chuck Smith, and there's many others that have gone home to be with the Lord. And no, they weren't perfect, and they had their issues. They were men, but they ultimately succumbed to this universal malady of death. You know, the statistics on death are quite impressive. And the question really becomes, okay, what did we do with our life? Was it well lived? Was it lived for the kingdom of God? And, you know, when I mention pastors, I think we could say, well, that's pretty much a given, but how about others? How about others who had fame and fortune, but have fallen now and didn't know the Lord? I often think of, you know, when I hear about somebody's passing, did they know the Lord? I mean, when it's all said and done, that's really the most important question. And I pray that we're living in light of that. And as we transition to the second chapter of 2 Samuel, we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God, your kingdom come. And we'll be talking about some principles related to the kingdom of God. And I'm going to try to bring more of these out as we go along in 2 Samuel. And I would just say to you that if you want to hit the mark, a lot of this has to do with how you understand the kingdom of God and how you pursue it. Jesus said to seek it first. How do you do that? We'll talk more about that as we move through 2 Samuel. I'm so glad you're listening. I'm so glad you're part of what's going on here at Walk in Truth. Hey, if you're brand new to us, we'd love for you to know more. One way you can is to download the Walk in Truth app today. It's on in your app store. It's a pillar. It's really designed to remind us that the Church of the Living God is the pillar and support of the truth. And you can download it for free today and listen on demand to past messages, share them with friends, keep up with the ministry. It's the Walk in Truth app in your app store today. Download it, and we'll see you right here tomorrow.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 2 called Your Kingdom Come.
For God does not judge things on the outside. He looks where? At the heart. And David was God's king. And in this way, David, this is one of many ways, and he doesn't do it perfectly. We know David's going to have his problems and he's going to have his shortcomings. He does not perfectly cast the shadow of the Messiah, for no human being can. Amen. But there is some typology there. And think with me now. We all know David is the man after God's own heart, but the ultimate man after God's own heart is Jesus.
I'm Mike Massaro, and thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.